Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Special coverage on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. Jeffrey Canada and Irwin Redlener wanted to come on today to talk about an issue they considered missing in the presidential campaign, child poverty. They are here. Irwin Redlener also happens to be an expert in disaster planning and response. He is author of the book Americans at Risk, Why We Are Not Prepared for Mega Disasters and What We Can Do Now, written in 2006. So he'll do double duty. He's an MD and professor of public health at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health. Jeffrey Canada, as many of you know, is founder of the Harlem Children's Zone. So Irwin Redlener, Jeffrey Canada, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. I'm really thrilled to be with you this morning.
And let's do some hurricane response first. First of all, Jeffrey Canada, how are things in your neighborhood? Have you been looking around?
Yeah, you know, I've been looking around, and the upper part of Manhattan and Harlem are not as impacted as, you know, obviously the lower part of Manhattan, but there are just huge lines for gas, and some of our children and families come from Staten Island, and we've had a few families who essentially have lost everything. And so I think all of us as New Yorkers are just really concerned and praying for our fellow New Yorkers who are really facing a crisis right now.
Absolutely. Irwin Redlener, were we better prepared for this than when you wrote your book in 2006? That was the year after Katrina.
Right. You know, so I wrote that book looking at some of the large structural issues that confound our ability to respond optimally to large-scale disasters. And, you know, we are better prepared. There's no question about that. But there are certainly elements of our preparedness that have really not made as much progress as we might have hoped. And I think we're seeing, unfortunately, the consequences of some of the things that have really not been sufficiently addressed. And I am concerned about that because so much attention happens when the disaster is coming, when it's here, and then we kind of lose interest. One of the things I wrote about, Brian, in my book was that each of these major disasters is like a wake-up call. You know, we get very excited and aroused and a lot of media coverage, but at the end of the day, it functions more like a snooze alarm, where we kind of drift back off into a state of complacency not long after the disaster is gone. And hopefully we're going to progress now even more rapidly than we had in the past, but we still have a lot of work to do.
What has surprised you this week? Is it how prepared we were or how prepared we weren't?
Well, you know, as my wife points out, I'm a half-empty glass kind of guy, and but let me say this. I think it's fair to say that we saw some extraordinary heroism on the, you know, like the issues around the evacuation of the hospitals. I have some serious problems of the level of preparedness in the hospitals, but the functioning of the hospital staff at NYU Langone Bellevue and the National Guard and the first responders could not be faulted in any way. They were fantastic. The political leadership. Mayor Bloomberg, Governor Christie, Governor Cuomo, as we just heard, the President of the United States, we have, and the head of FEMA, Craig Fugate, we have some very serious players who are focused on what needs to be done, and I'm really quite proud of that.
So what's the half-empty part?
Yeah, so here's the half-empty part. So it is just mind-boggling to me that we had, you know, we addressed the backup generator issues for hospitals that are at risk for flooding by putting the generators on high floors in the hospitals when they're at risk for flooding. But we left the pumping stations for the fuel to the generators vulnerable. And, and people are saying, well, we prepared for a 10-foot surge and not a 14-foot surge. And that's, to me, that's nonsense. I think we have submarines that live underwater constantly and systems work, and there's no reason why we couldn't have absolutely water-resistant fuel pumping capacity in the hospitals that are vital. We heard from people like nurses said they were slowly making their ways down darkened stairwells, down wet stairs in Langone as they were evacuating it. But, you know, why were the stairwells dark? We have battery-operated, you know, emergency lighting that should have been in there. There's things about that, and we kind of proverbially dodged a bullet there with the hospital evacuations, but I think I'm pretty disappointed about that. But the really big thing, Brian, is the astounding level of non-cooperation by the public in the high-risk zones. And I'm sure the political leaders don't want to say this as strongly as I'm saying it, but, you know, the reality is that the real first responder is the individual. It's you. And, being prepared for a major disaster that we've been trying to urge people to do since 9/11, complying with orders to evacuate, we're not good at that as a population. And that is something that's going to require a lot of work going forward.
All right. That is a lot said right there. So something for people to think about on the individual level, and a lot about institutional response. Well, originally the two of you were coming on as kind of bonus issue 31 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days presidential election series to talk about a missing issue that you both specialize in, and that is child poverty. So, Jeffrey Canada, what do you think should have been debated that wasn't?
Well, you know, we have a real crisis. It's not just an unemployment crisis in America, which is real, but we have a real poverty crisis. When you begin to hear the numbers, 46-plus million folks on food stamps and 15-plus million children growing up in poverty, we know that poverty has a real impact on the healthy development of children in this country. Being prepared as government to address this issue, because this is not an issue of folk who are lazy or didn't want to work hard or, somehow deserve our scorn instead of our real help and support, is something that I fundamentally believe. We need a government that looks at this issue and says the future of our country is really going to be determined around whether or not we help these children grow into productive, employed adults. And that's going to take a coordinated effort. And so we think this was a critical issue, and it just did not come up.
Liberals will say we need better child welfare programs, including Obamacare. Conservatives will say most children in poverty are in single-parent homes. Jeffrey, do you try to synthesize the essential truths in both, or are you campaigning for certain policies?
Well, I think that those of us who work with poor families recognize how difficult it is for single parents to provide adequate support for their children. And if I could wave a magic wand and have all of my children families intact with two healthy, supportive adults, I would do that, and I think we'd all be better for it. I think we have a given in this country that a huge number of our children are growing up without the education, health care, mental health services that they need to really develop into healthy adults. And the number is not 2% or 3%, so we can say it's not going to matter. This number is going to matter to the future of this country, and we need our leaders to really stand up and acknowledge this is a challenge, and we have to really address this challenge.
We have the MTA chairman, Joe Lota, standing by with a transit update. So let's finish up with one last word from you, Irwin Redlener, on child poverty, whether Romney or Obama is elected. Did we lose Irwin Redlener? All right. So we.
No, I'm here. I'm here, Brian. Sorry. The argument about whether what is the cause of it is not relevant right now. We have a lot of children in poverty, as Jeffrey said. We need to take care of them. They're here. They're here now, and they are actually, in fact, our future. And to fail to provide them what they need during their early years of brain growth, and while they're in school, would be a terrible injustice and a real problem for the country as we go forward.
Thank you very much, Irwin Redlener from the Columbia University School of Public Health. And
Children's Health Fund, Brian, yeah.
And the Children's Health Fund, and Jeffrey Canada from the Harlem Children's Zone. Thank you both so much.
You're welcome, Brian. Thanks for having us on.
Take care. Thanks, Brian.